G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, September 2, first Saturday of spring, first Group 1 of the new season. I'm excited. Joel Marshall, what about you?
Yes, very much so. Big meeting at Caulfield on Saturday, obviously the million-dollar Memsie. A couple of weeks ago, there was going to be 30 runners. They were going to have to run a second division of the 1,400-metre handicap, and I don't know what's happened. They've all fallen away. Haven't even got a capacity field for the $1 million, but plenty of quality there.
Only 12 Cal Diorio, but 9 of them are prior Group 1 winners, as I believe have been 11 of the past 12 Memsie Stakes winners have already been Group 1 winners, and I guess I was one of those who probably scoffed a bit when this race was raised to Group 1 level in 2013, but it was immediately won by Atlantic Jewel, a very, very genuine first Group 1 mare. And it's really just gone from strength to strength since, and now it's worth $1 million. There's no arguing, is there?
That's the big carrot, the $1 million. You put $1 million on many races, and I'm sure you'd get a quality lineup. And this year's field, as I was saying with Joel this morning, it's an even field. It's a nice field. There's no real out-and-out superstar, and it maybe is the sort of race in 5 years' time you might struggle to remember, but it's an okay betting race.
All right, well, as I've also written in Best Bets Winning Post and Racing.com this week, the Memsie has been a race that has got a very good record over this century or this millennium of throwing up the winners of one of the real big races of the Melbourne Spring, the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup and Cox Plate. Well, it doesn't look like the Cox Plate winner's in it unless something goes very wrong, because the Cox Plate winner will be running at Randwick on the same day. I can't see a Melbourne Cup winner in there, and Caulfield Cup? Oh, well, Humidor, I guess, is a candidate for
Humidor, John Snow, probably the John only Snow, two in the race that would have a chance of getting to the Caulfield Cup.
All right, well, we'll get to the New Zealand Bloodstock Memsie Stakes very shortly, because we will take you right through the Black Type at the Heath on Saturday. And first of the Black Type races is Race 4, the HDF McNeil Stakes. It is a Group 3 for three-year-olds. Set weights and penalties, and we've got a horse down from Sydney, Trekking. We had one come down in overshare, having got beaten up in Sydney, come down to Melbourne and win last week. We got one coming down here in Trekking, and then we got Merchant Navy, the undefeated horse. Those two, Joel, or are you looking outside those two?
Yeah, no, I've gotten those two. I've gone Trekking. I was keen on him in Sydney first up, and he didn't win. I was a little bit disappointed, but he seemed to have a nice enough run. But the form has been franked, as you mentioned, and I think he'll be certainly fitter for that run. I think he's a horse that will keep improving as he gets up over a bit of ground, but he's drawn well. So I've gone his way just ahead of two Merchant Navy, undefeated, couldn't have done much more in his first prep. His recent jump outs have looked really good. He looks to have come back in good order. In for third, number 8, Poseidon's Pool. Did a good job at first two starts, measured up to the Group 3 company in the vein, hit the line well behind Jukebox, and 4, Hulalai, the other Sydney visitor, who's been a bit of a work in progress. They've sort of had to teach him to settle a bit. They've done that in his trials, and I think he'll improve as he gets over a bit of ground, but he goes in for 4. 3, 2, 8, 4.
Interesting field composition to this McNeil Stakes. There's three horses in the race, side by Street Cry, another one by Reset. Probably not your usual sort of sprinting composition in terms of bloodlines. I'm with Plovercet, the daughter of Street Boss, who ran third in the Quizette, first up behind Crown Witness and Catchy. Draws together soft trailing run again, and residual fitness, just the fitness edge might just matter here, because Plovercet and Trekking, two key runners that are going into this race second up, and they might just have the advantage on a few of these other rivals in the race. Trekking in for second. Merchant Navy, I think, is a bit too short. I think, whilst talented, I think the spruik in them is a little bit too severe. And then maybe for fourth you'd put in Gaze Horse, Hulalai, who for mine's probably a 1,400 metre horse, not a 1,200 metre prospect.
And my number's almost identical to Joel's. 2 Merchant Navy to beat 3 Trekking, 8 Poseidon's Pool, and for fourth I've got 1 Kobayashi. Race 5 is the Ladbrokes Cockrum Stakes for 4 years old and up mares. Group 3 over 1,200 set weights and penalties, Joel?
I've gone with number one, Savannah Amor here. She's been kept fresh since that first up. A disappointing run on the heavy ground there in the Bletchingley. Blinkers, first time. She's drawn well. And look, she didn't have all favours the day Furyk beat her at Caulfield in the Kevin Hayes. She was sort of a little bit wide on pace there. Furyk had a nice smother in behind. Did win well, did Furyk. But wouldn't be shocked to see Savannah Amor get closer and maybe even turn the table. So I've gone one to beat two. Furyk is resuming. 10, Liuba in for third. Really consistent mare. She had a good run at Caulfield last start. Just couldn't peg back Sullivan Bay, but drawn well. She'll be fitter for that. She looks very genuine. And 3, Anna Royale, going to get better over further, but I can see her hitting the line hard late. 1, 2, 10, 3.
Interesting race. So I'm with, I'm with number two, Furyk, the favourite, who went through the grades last season, ended it by winning a similar sort of mares race in South Australia, draws to get a lovely run in behind. The value bet might be Divine Chill, so I don't think it was all that bad at Mooney Valley last Saturday behind Fragonard. Shouldn't be too far away. Can see it maybe settling three back the rail, needing a bit of luck in the straight. Written Error, didn't mind the first up when it's Sandown, then last time probably not suited back to the 1100. Dry surface, up on the pace in terms of maybe, you know, one out, two back, a bit closer. I think Written Error can be in the finish, and saw the light's been going okay in the training track and might show up first up.
I've got the same exacta as Joel again. One Savannah Amor to beat two Furyk, and then I've got 8 Sort of Light, 9 Sullivan Bay. Race 6 is the first leg of the quaddy at Caulfield on Saturday. It is the mypunter.com The Heath 1100, as the name suggests, over 1100 metres. It is a Group 3, and by jingoes, there's a couple of these that come into this with very good records over the track and trip.
Yeah, they certainly do, and you speak of the two well-found in the betting of 2 Voodoo Lad and 4 Shy Dowell, and certainly they're going to have to be included in everything you do. I'll be taking them in quinellas and multiples with a couple that I'm just going to spec at odds. In this race, 7 Legless Verve, I think first up, she's been trialling well, jumping out well. She beat Haydock first up last prep. She's got a good Caulfield record. I thought she was pretty decent in the Sangster, beating home Scheidel. She was very wide and back from that horror gate, and she did keep finding the line pretty resolutely there. I think she can run well fresh. 9 Royal Tudor is a bit of a favourite of mine. He continues to step up each campaign. This is his toughest test to date, obviously, but he was only a length and a half off Redzel last prep. Redzel won this race last year, of course, went on to win a Group 1. I think he might be a bit over the odds. 2 Voodoo Lad and 4 Scheidel. 7, 9, 2, 4.
Interesting race. Malibu Style, I think, can run the cheeky race here first up. He showed an ability to handle the Caulfield circuit, draws a wide barrier, but should slide forward and be prominent throughout. Ahead of number 7, Legless Verve, who's first up from a spell. Gear changes made there. The blinkers are removed for Winkers. Third, number 2, Voodoo Lad, who's also first up and proven at this level. I mean, he was first up last campaign, ran second in the Newmarket to Redkirk Warrior, albeit with that the pattern of the day soothing. And for fourth, Scheidel, should shoot out the lights from Barrier 3 and attempt to lead throughout, and has been muted as a possible Everest contender. 3, 7, 2, and 4.
Yeah, 4 Scheidel for me from 2 Voodoo Lad, 7 Legless Verb and 11 Souci Bon. The big one is race 7, New Zealand Bloodstock Memsey Stakes, 1400, standard weight for age, $1 million, Joel.
I've gone with 2 Lee Romaine, genuine Group 1 horse. I think he'll take a bit of benefit out of that first up run in the Missile there, where he was beaten by the stablemate Invincible Gem. Certainly, I'm pretty sure they had their eyes on this prize second up. It'll be really hard to beat 2 Lee Romaine. From 11, I Am a Star in for second. I thought she was good first up in the Ori Star. Does have to turn the tables on Haydock, but thought, you know, with that run under the belt and out to the 1400, certainly plays to her advantage. I think she's a bit of value. In for third, number 5, Vega Magic. Strong win first up. Has to get the 1400. He did it in Perth, but only had 4 rivals. One of them was the Handy Chocolate Holic. But I think from the good gate, he'll be in it for a long way. And 4, Humidor, who I spec first up in the Lawrence. Wasn't really disappointed in his run. He hit the line well. I think he's in for a good prep, but stays at 1400. We'll throw him in for fourth. 2.11, 5.4.
Interesting race, as I touched on earlier. I'm with Vega Magic. I was impressed by his first up win, the Regal Roller. His work leading into it was sensational. 1400. Bit of a query for mine, but Barrier 3 probably offsets that. He'll be up on the speed. Caulfield will probably play on the firmer side, and those good horses, when they get up on the pace, they don't stop, and they're hard to overrun. So,
speaking of the Everest slots, were they not hoping for an Everest slot with Vega Magic?
Yeah, well, the plan is that then they'll freshen him up if they run well. Obviously, Star City's got the slot, so they can use any runner from the Hayes stable. But I'd imagine if he does win, they'll freshen him up and then take him straight to the Everest. So that's the plan, and he should go well on the weekend from 8 Hay Dock, who gets that lovely runner. So I was talking about with Joel, he was blessed with beautiful barriers last campaign, at least up until the Doncaster and Goodwood. But he'll be in the finish for sure. For third, number four, Humidor, and for fourth, number three, Tucson Stardom, 5, 8, 4, and 3.
Vega Magic for me, 2, number 5 to beat 1, Blackheart, but 8, Hay Dock, 4, Humidor. But it was a race where I just went, it was one of those races where you just went over and over and came up with a different one each time. The fun facts, will be barracking for Yankee Rose, I would say, because the last 7 Memsies have been won by first up horses. And yeah, really struggle to see John Snow, Seaburge, or Single Gaze winning this first up, which only leaves Yankee Rose, who's obviously coming off a very long break, but few people do fancy it. But I think we can probably throw out that particular fun fact for the simple reason that this is now worth $1 million, and that therefore people have had a run.
They're targeting it.
They're attacking it, exactly, rather than just getting into it first up and hoping to run on and often winning. Race 8 at Caulfield on Saturday, third leg of the quaddie, Dream Thoroughbreds Heatherly Stakes, 1700 metre listed event. And well, after Crocodile Rock going around at $1.70 on Wednesday and getting rolled, as we just knew that it would, we've got a couple of Hickmots here at $17, Joel. That's more like it, isn't it?
That's more like his...
more the profile, yeah.
In saying that, I've left them both out of my four. Maybe I should put them in my quaddie. But look, I'm keen on 7, Amelie Starr. I think she's... Well, she's obviously a talented mare. She had that long break. She joined the Darren Weir stable off that long spell, and all of her runs last prep were good. She only won once, but a couple of her defeats were really good, including that Doomben Cup fourth. She measured right up there. Thought her first up run in the Lawrence was sound. 1700, perfect, good gate. I think she will be very hard to beat. From 6 Harlem, 1 Ventura Storm, the two imports we haven't seen too much of. What we have seen seems to say that they've got enough ability to be measuring up here. Obviously, they're probably looking towards the Naturalism and other races, but I think they can run it all fresh. And 13 Tiamo Grace, I thought, did enough first up. Again, she'll improve with another run under her belt. She's a little bit untapped, that horse, but pretty keen on Amelie Starr, 7, 6, 1, 13.
Glad you're keen, because I'm not. I'm with Harlem, each way, small bet. He has a touch of class, might need the run. I just don't know what sort of fitness levels he's at. But he's probably the one I'm defaulting to at the moment from Tally, Amrella, and then Tiamo Grace probably gets out to 2,000 metres in the Naturalism before we see her best. But no, not a race I'm keen on.
No, not me, but nor me. But I have got I've got Tiamo Grace as my roughie of the day at $34. As Charles said, did enough race, not run to suit first up. Yeah, 1700, possibly not far enough. 13 Tiamo Grace to beat 3 Tally, 1 Ventura Storm, and 9 the Inform Hell or High Water. Race 9 we don't have to worry about, because that's the end of the black type. Really, you can suit yourself for a quaddie there. You just have to put them all in just about, wouldn't you? Or is Grande Rosso just going to win that, Joel?
Yeah, well, I've tipped Grand Rosso. He was pretty good first up off some good trials. He ran right up to those trials there in the Ori Star, and he should be pretty hard to beat. Chocolate Holic, also in an Adelaide. And what else did I have in my picks? Aussie's Choice, Divine Mr. Arty. We're also in my picks. Hardham is the other one, so they're probably the 5 that I'd be looking at.
All right, best and value bet for Caulfield. I will kick us off. Best, race 6, number 4, Shidell. Value bet, race 5, number 1, Savannah Amor.
My best is Amelie Starr, race 8, number 7. My value is Schism, race 2, number 2. Was in really good form through June, July, winning 3 on the trot, given a freshen up. Couldn't get to her preferred on-speed position over the 1,200 there behind Vega Magic. She was stopped in her tracks a couple of times. I thought she did more than enough. to suggest stepping back to 1400 against Mares should be pretty hard to beat here. And just a couple of others worth mentioning. I thought Play That Song in the first race would run well, and Tribal Wisdom's over the odds in race three.
I like, as a value bet, there's a roughie in that last race, Cool Chap, race nine, the break. His jump outs have been good for the Hay Stable. And I think his best distance is probably 1400 to 1800. And his work certainly suggests that he's sharp enough to figure first up. It's a nice price of 25-1. Best bet, well, not so much a best bet, but one I'll be backing is Play That Song in the first race, heading towards the VRC Oaks. And under those circumstances, I'd be liking to see her finish top three in the first race on Saturday.
Yeah, first race of the spring, eh, in Melbourne, and it's a benchmark 70.
It's all uphill from there.
Yeah. Randwick, Royal Randwick, is the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday, and there are four black-type races. There's with 6, 8, 10 and 12 runners, and the one with 12 runners is the Blanc League with Winks in it, which we will get to very shortly. Wonder if we're, yeah, certainly the Quinella wasn't exactly the way to go last time, was it? Because it was a pretty obvious Quinella, but still the Quinella was the way to play it, wasn't it? You would have been worried if you had the exacta in the last until the last 50 metres. Anyway, I'm babbling. We'll go to race five. Concord Stakes, Group 3, three-year-olds and up. 1,000 metres sees the return of Spieth.
Yeah, small field, but really intriguing clash. Group 1 winner Red Zell probably should be Group 1 winner Spieth. The exciting Nieta and the very speedy Super 2. So it's a good clash. I'm with Nieta. Unbeaten, fresh. She's been trialling as well as she ever does. She's always a good trialler. This is her toughest test to date, yet to win a black type race, but I think she's up to it. I think she can win from 1 Red Zell, 3 Spieth, 6 Super 2.
So do you think Nieta will come from behind Spieth, or...?
Yeah, I don't know what Spieth's drawn 3, Nieta 5. I don't think there'll be too much between. The Super 2 will just be off and gone, you would think. Red Zell a clear second. And then Nieta might settle in front of Spieth.
They'll be alongside each other more or less. I'm with Spieth to beat Red Zell. I think they're the main two. Spieth's obviously, his Group 1 performances down the straight really well for this sort of race. Sure, his best distance, but well, he comes second in a Lightning first up at the 1,000, so he should be good enough here. From Red Zell, the other Group 1 performed horse, Nieta for third and Super 2 for fourth. Interesting race, how it tactically evolves, but I think the class run the Spieth.
I must say, I was looking at Nieta earlier in the week at around $6 and thought, yeah, that's the way to go, and I think she's a fair bit shorter now, certainly.
Is that right?
Puts me off a little bit, yeah.
Marked at 360 in your winning post, behind Spieth 260 and Red Zell 330, Jeez. And even the others are 10, 11 and 11.
I'm going to sound like a smart ass here, but if I was a bookmaker, I'd be giving it double figures. I don't know if it's up to that level, but...
She's always looked pretty smart.
Yeah, she's had
she gets her chance.
Yeah, definitely.
Labor Day Cup at 360.
Got a good SP profile.
You know what I'm doing. I'll try and build a bank before then. Either that or I'll try and just dig a bigger hole with Nieta sweeping over the top.
Furious Stakes is race 6 at Randwick on Saturday. It's worth $200,000. It is for three-year-old fillies at level weights. And it is Group 2 over 1,200 metres, Joel. 7 left in it.
Yeah, just the 7 runners. I am with number 6, Joyful Hours, ex-Kiwi, formerly known as Joy Filly. And she, very smart filly in New Zealand, sort of not with one of the biggest stables, but she always kept stepping up to the mark. Backed her in the Breeders' Stakes there at Group 2 level. She ran really well, and then obviously won her maiden at a short price, and then ran super again in the sires behind the very smart Melody Bell. So I had a couple of wide gates to contend with in a couple of those big races. Like the way she's been trialling, not sensationally, but doing just enough, and I think she can run really well first up. To beat 3 Champagne Cuddles, she was excellent first up. Probably the pick, I thought, of those trio, Alizé and Formality, and they make up the rest of my numbers. 6-3-5-1.
Sandy on top for me. Travels up from Victoria after an encouraging effort in the Quizette Stakes behind Crown Witness Catchy. And Plovacet ran the best closing splits in the Quizette. Hopefully won't get as far back from Barrier 4. Maybe some given the ground will help Siani as well. It does have a tendency to want to lay out, so perhaps going the reverse way may assist as well. So got her on top of the trifecta from the Silver Shadow in order, that being Formality, Elise, and Champagne Cobbles.
Well, there you go, listeners. Seven horse field, and Joel has tipped you a $15 chance, and Carl has tipped you a $17 chance. So don't say you don't get value from this show. But speaking of which, forget your value. Race 7, Tattersall's Club, Chelmsford Stakes, 1600 metres, standard weight for age, only worth the $2.50. Group 2, Winks, well, marked at winning post at $1.10, opened up at a ludicrous $1.06. On Wednesday, I suppose the percentage of that market would have been about 190 or something, but you would really think after missing the start by four lengths last time, I know that there's even less opposition this time than there was last time. Last time there was some decent opposition, not so much this time for a 1600-metre race. But you would think, missing the start by that much, has it taken anything out of her, that big chase that she had to put on?
Well, that's the only query, isn't it? Because it was just a huge effort. I mean, it's probably one of her best wins. So, you know, she probably should be shortening in the betting. But as you said, how much has it taken out of her?
That was on the firm track as well, that they're running quick time.
She really had to stretch, didn't she? So we'll see on Saturday. But
she could have two legs and still beat.
Yeah, exactly. She could be below par and still win. Earmuffs, first time they're testing out with her. So she's on top, clearly. 6, Antonio Giuseppe. I'll go the same, Quinella. I thought he did enough there first up. 8, Saracen. Was a nice return there in the spring preview with the big weight. And 9, Life Less Ordinary. Hit the line strongly first up. All we've seen of him in Australia has been pretty positive, and he might just be about ready to go to a new level. So it's the Waller first 4 for me. 11, 6, 8, 9.
Not many horses win 19 in a row, and not many best bets overviews on Group 2 races don't contain more than one horse. So it's he actually hasn't capitalised Winks. I just noticed Kevin Casey... But Winks on top for me.
You just aren't you supposed to read those before they go to press?
I don't know. One of us is.
I read it.
It's a nice poem.
It's 1,100 words, yeah. Readers. So I think it gets 1,100 characters. But it's a great poem. It gets a little bit lost halfway through. But
Winks on top from Saracen.
Artistic temperament.
Life Less Ordinary and Sense of Occasion. Life Less Ordinary was quite good first up. That was. Yeah, he's the interesting runner for mine. Want to see if he can back it up or if he's just a bit of a fresh performer, because his two runs there afterwards were okay, but not probably the same level as his first up win at Caulfield. Be interesting if he backs it up.
Did you have a lot of space in the Randwick form guide in best bets, Joel? Because I think the poem actually would have looked better if it was in lines, you know. It was line by line.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we'll think of that. Next time she runs.
Next time.
We'll get another.
Well, betting by the stars.
Is she going to run in Sydney again? Yes, obviously,
yeah.
Yes.
Betting by the stars and video the stars could have got the flick off the next page.
Oh, no, you can't do that. Cannot do that. Race 8 at Randwick on Saturday. Tats Club meeting, of course. And it is the Tattersall's Club Tramway Stakes. 1,400 metre Group 2, Joel.
Yeah, nice race. You can make a good case for 4 or 5 strong winning chances. And saying that, I've made my best of the day because I couldn't get overly confident on any of the other races. But Ecuador... He's a bit of a ripper, this bloke. He's never won a Group 1, but he's placed in 3 of them. He had a really good autumn campaign, and his first up run was really good. He got to the front and gave a good kick. Halfway up the straight, it looked like, you know, he'd be sort of, you know, 4th, 5th, but he really fought, and it sort of got back on terms almost with Fox Play until very late. And look, stays at 1,400, rock hard fit. He'll go to the front, make his own luck. I think he'll be very hard to catch from 7, Invincible Gem. Hasn't done much wrong, continues to jump every hurdle. Chris Lees puts in front of her. 1, Happy Clapper in for 3rd, and 2, McIntosh for 4th. I think Tom Melbourne's the other strong winning hope.
Yeah, Tom Melbourne's my best bet of the day, so we'll have to go against each other here. He's a flawed genius. He's got ability, but he's got rocks in his head. But Chris Waller seems to be... ironing out those issues, to mix a few metaphors. His first up run was quite, it was excellent. He should have won, and his trial leading into that was impressive. So drops in weight. He's on the minimum here as opposed to conceding the winner 4.5 kilos last time. He's $7, $8, probably on reputation alone. If he didn't have that reputation, I think he'd be half that price. And I think he's a great betting proposition here in the race that Ecuador should try and lead throughout. And I've got him in for second. We'll ensure a genuine speed here. Third, number 7, Invincible Gem, a great winner of the Missile first up. And for fourth, number 1, Happy Clapper, who's capable first up and should be finding the line.
Alrighty, that takes care of the black type at Royal Randwick on Saturday. As you mentioned, Carl, Tom Melbourne was your best. And cool chap.
Yeah, cool chap. I have been since informed by the Hayes stable this morning that they're inclined to run in Melbourne. So ignore that. Siani will make our value race 6, number 4.
My best is Ecuador in the tramway, so head-to-head there. And my value is devolving. They've scratched her out of the Furious to run in race 1, which I think's suitable. I'm just hoping the 8 runners stay in that race so we get each way. Nice filly. She'd shown good ability at the trials before the debut. She ran into Shaker there, who went on to place in the kindergarten. She got the maiden win on the board next go. Both those were on wet, but she's come back, trialled well on dry this prep, drew wide, went back to last, ran on, bit green, but hit the line strongly first up. They'll probably do the same again, go back. She can be a little bit fierce in those trials. I think they are teaching her to settle, so they'll probably go back again. But 1,300 suits, I think she'll run really well.
In Adelaide, they're racing on the Parks track, mainly. 6 of the races on the Parks track. 2 jumps races on the turf track, the Australia versus Ireland. This is the 4th biggest crowd day of the year in South Australia, behind the Oakbank Carnival and Adelaide Cup Day. And gee, they want to get rid of it over there with three of their 4 days are all, 3 of the top 4 days for pulling crowds are all about jumps. There is, however, also an additional attraction, and that is a listed race, which, unlike the ones in Sydney, has got a full field. It is the UBet Penny Edition Stakes, over 1,400 metres. A listed event, and we have 14 and 3 emergencies. Doesn't look like Chocolate Hollock is going there, given that it's got no jockey and it's got barrier 13. Probably staying in Melbourne for the last. What do you like here, Carl?
I'm with Serenely Discreet, who was a Group 2 winner third up last prep. Her 2 runs this campaign have been quite encouraging. She found the line nicely after getting back from a wide barrier first up. And then last time was 3 back on the inside, never got out till when it was all over. Got out the last 150 and flashed home for 3rd behind Chamoy Road. So a bit up in grade, but down in the weights, given the weight the weight scale of this event, she's certainly good enough. I think the plans are to come to Melbourne for the Let's All Open, the fortnight at Group 2 level, and she certainly wouldn't look out of place in that race, and she doesn't look out of place in the weekend. So go ahead, number 5, Lord Aspen, who ran 2nd in the Spring Stakes first up behind Mio Dio. Mio Dio got in for 4th, and splitting that pair is Hiyoshi, whose recent jump outs at Flemington have been quite good, and he's always capable first up over the 1400. Great race, 15, 5, 2 and 3 for mine in that race. That's my value selection. Joel, you got anything there?
I don't bet much in Adelaide, but I was on Serenely Discreet last start at the 550, and yeah, it was a tragedy. So.
It did tumble in, didn't it? $8 opened up into the $3.50.
Yeah, and I saw 550, I was betting close to the jump, and I thought 550 is a good price for her. So, but yeah, and then it turned into a nightmare. So I'll probably have something on her. Yeah, not without having had much of a look at the rest of the race.
So that's my each way value for the day. My best bet comes up in the last race, 8, number 8, Supreme Polarity. That horse is also trained by Stokes to be ridden by Dominic Tenneur. And similarly unlucky last time, was a bit slow away, 3 back on the rail and just held up horribly, peeled to the outside, the 200 metre mark, bit one pace to the finish, but just ahead of it was Magnus Knight, who then came out and ran quite well last Saturday. I think it won or ran 2nd last week by memory. Magnus Knight, no, it did win. It was Ryan Balfour's horse, sorry. So that form line reads okay, and it's a benchmark 70. It's not overly strong with not too many chances. A fray's probably the main danger, I reckon.
That first race is a bit of a highlight there.
It is.
If D Weir takes both of them, I like that counter play. It was impressive.
I know. It's funny, you know, great chances. Five horse field, and I've got counter play in for fifth. I'm not entirely sure I've left out the winner in my four, to be honest, because it's a last start 4.5 length winner in town. Stokesy's talking about taking his other horse, Eclair
Sunshine,
to a listed 1400 metre race at Flemington in a fortnight if it runs quite good. So that's the reason why I lean towards that over Counterplay. He didn't speak as glowingly of Counterplay, but you never know. Sepoys are starting to hit their straps, and Counterplay, as I said, won by 4.5 last time. Must be doing something right.
Jesus, it's not bad. You put up 45,000 and you get that sort of field, albeit only five of them.
Joel, we're racing at Doomben in Brisbane on Saturday, and feels not quite as massive as they have been, but nine races, as is the norm in Brisbane these days, and you're giving us the bookends for your specials.
Yes, let's hope so. Bodacious in the first, drawn a touch wide, 11 of 14, going to need luck, but the first up run was a real eye-catcher. She got back and hit the line, 1,200. It's probably enough pace on for her to go back again. Dee Brown can sum it up, and as I said, she's going to need a little bit of things to go her way, but I think she can win. And my value, we'll stick with Sabcat. Made him the value bet a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, he ran fourth, but he ran a really good race, crossed from the outside gate. I wasn't sure that they would go forward, but they did, and it was a really strung out affair. They ran along, a couple of the on paces held on. He held on pretty well for fourth. Drawn barrier one, he should do no work. And with the claim for Jag Guthman Chester, I think he's worth following up.
Alrighty, Belmont again, the venue for Perth racing on Saturday. No black type there, but I can tell you that Greg Hooper's best bet is race 3, number 3, Saturia, and his value bet race 5, number 2, Just Magical. Earlier in the day, Joel, we have Group 1 racing in New Zealand as well, because the former McAfee Challenge is now called the Tarzino Trophy, and that is kicking off the Hawke's Bay Triple Crown.
Yeah, another new name for this race, the Mudgeway used to be. It's when it sort of burst onto the scene with StarCraft and what have you, but now the Tarzino Trophy, and Kawi, arguably New Zealand's best galloper, is trying for Group 1 win number 7, I think, and he's going for his third win in this race, and Alan Sherrick's going for his fourth on the trot, having won it with I Do before Cowie's back-to-back success. And well, his first up run suggested that his rivals are going to need to be pretty good to beat him, because he was wide, he was back on the really wet track, and he just kept finding the line like a good horse that he is. He's not the favourite, he's second favourite behind Volpe Veloce, beaten just the once. This four-year-old mare, she was impressive first up. This is her hardest test to date. She should measure up, though. I've gone one Cowie, though, to beat 15 Volpe Veloce. Trying to find the value, I thought 13 Coldplay. She really hit her straps last prep, strung the wins together, and she didn't get all favours first up in the Foxbridge Plate, held up for large chunks of the straight. I think she can improve at odds. And throwing in the classy Ginger Nuts for fourth. You can just see him charging home out wide. He really hit the line in a recent trial. When Opie Boson put a couple round his tail, and 1400's obviously short of his best, but he will be charging late. Cully is my best, and my value is Charlie Horse, race 4, number 4. Trialled okay, and then had no luck first start. He should have got out and probably won. He got clear late and ran third. Nice race, some lightly raced horses, three unbeaten runners, and a first starter down the bottom of the Baker and Forsman yard that's trialled really nicely, but we'll go Charlie Horse. From a small stable, might be over the odds. Ruakaka is the other meeting. The best bet is Angeline, race 3, number 8. Tried in good fillies company last season. First up run was good. Second up run was even better to run second. She looks ready third up. And my value bet is Brighton, race 5, number 8. Talented sprinter. Sprinter miler, was tried in good company last prep. Wasn't disgraced. That's probably the highlight of that card there. We've got Volkstock and Barrel resuming with a big weight, and Brighton and Selfie down in the weights. But Brighton will be my value.
All right, that wraps up a big Saturday of racing around Australasia. Don't forget to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. All the form, not only for Saturday, but also for Friday and Sunday, as well as the fields for Kempsey Monday. and plenty of other great features besides. We've got Paul Richards catches up with Danny Miller. Happy birthday to Danny. If you're listening on Friday, Danny turns 70 and is still race riding. A remarkable story which he shares with Paul Richards. Richo also catches up with a former jockey in Jason Patton. We've got Steve Pateman's column. We've got Shane Templeton. We've got Tony Kneebone. He's back with his snippets column. He's back from New Zealand, so naturally enough, he's picked up a fair bit of guts over there. Plenty of great reading and entertainment in your winning post, as well as, of course, the best form guide you will lay your hands on for Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And finally, our best $20 bet for the weekend. Without any great confidence, I must say, I'm going to go Caulfield Race 6, number 4, Scheidel.
I'll go Caulfield Race 8, number 7, Emily Starr.
And I'll go with Sydney, Tom Melbourne, Race 8, number 9.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.